2 and 3 coming up later. Now, the Oscar nominations will be announced in a few days. It's hoped that The Favourite, a film produced by the Irish company Element Pictures, will get a nod after the star of the film, Olivia Colman, won a Golden Globe for her performance. But have you ever wondered what some of the people who work behind the scenes actually do? All those names, hundreds of names scrolling up at the end, like a key grip or a Foley artist. What do they do? Well, I'm joined this morning by three people working in the film industry. Caoimhe Doyle is a Foley artist. Emer O'Grady is a stunt coordinator. And having looked at some of the stuff online, it would put the fear of God in you, but there you go. And Philip Murphy is a key grip. We'll start with you, Caoimhe. You've worked on so many well-known films, Room, Sing Street, The Guard, and The Favourite. So what does a Foley artist do?
Hi. So we recreate the footsteps and the physical sounds that actors perform on screen, and we recreate those sounds in a studio afterwards.
Like, for instance?
Like, if an actor is wearing a beautiful costume and, you know, a beautiful Italian shoes in a period drama and an airplane flew overhead, the performance might be beautiful, but the sound would be suddenly no use. So we
right.
would perform all of those footsteps in lovely Italian shoes or whatever in a silk dress, and we'd get the silk dress and make those movement sounds, and
you'd make the silk swish.
The swish, and if they were drinking tea, we'd do the, you know, the china cup, or if it's a sword in Vikings or something, the sword out of the scabbard. We'd add all that kind of the sword out and the violence sounds.
Yeah, when people think of sound on movies, they're thinking music, aren't they? But actually, looking at what you guys do, it's every single solitary second of the movie.
Pretty much, like a lot of the nowadays, a lot of the soundtrack is reproduced afterwards. Like a lot of what you hear is recorded afterwards. But the dialogue on the day of the shoot, the dialogue is the key sound that's recorded.
Right.
So that if they want to get that one down, and then the rest of it can be augmented afterwards in post production.
And that includes footsteps.
Footsteps and kisses, and in a lovemaking scene. To hear the sound of skin being touched and rubbed is really intimate and makes you kind of lean in towards the picture a little bit more to hear these sounds that you would only hear if you were in the room with the person.
Right.
So these little tricks to make it intimate.
And I noted you say that you don't just do a kiss and say, "Grand, we'll keep that in the press there, and we'll haul it out the next time I need a kiss."
Yeah. They're like snowflakes kisses, really, like a mother kissing their son, or a lover kissing, or, a passionless kiss. Do you know, you need to know what's going on in the story, what's going on in the heart of the person who's kissing, and kind of reenact a little bit of acting, you know, like kind of get that into you and into your heart or something, and then perform it, and then it sort of translates.
Why is it called Foley?
It's called Foley after a guy, Jack Donovan Foley. His parents came from Dingle and they went over to, firstly, New York, then LA. And he was the first guy to put sound to film.
Effects.
Yeah,
sound effects.
Yeah, not first guy, but to make Foley tracks.
Yeah. Right, yeah. What's a key grip?
Key grip, Miriam. So when you're watching a television programme or a feature film or even an advertisement on television, you know, you'd have the actors walking about or you'd have the cars moving. So what we do in our department is we facilitate the movement of the camera with the actor into the car, onto the car, into the spaceship, up the building, onto the helicopter, or whatever it takes to move the camera in hopelessly, like the best way we can describe it is in a seamless fashion, you know, or sometimes an aggressive fashion to add to the story, you know.
Right. Give me an example, because you, again, give us a clue of some of the list of movies you've been on.
Well, I've been very lucky to have worked on an enormous amount of large-scale international productions. I started as a boy. My father and my grandfather were in the film business.
Nepotism.
So nepotism is how I got into the business.
Yeah.
And I started with my dad on Braveheart. Well, actually, I started with him on Far and Away as a trainee. But by 1994, Braveheart shot in Ireland and my dad was the key grip, so I worked with him, and I worked with him on Michael Collins' Angela's Ashes. You know, he was the head of my department, and I learned my trade with him. And then by the time, let's say, Saving Private Ryan was shot here in Curraghcloe Beach, I kind of had developed into my own person as a grip. And
right.
I got into a situation, luckily, it was fabulous, you know, working with such brilliant people down in Curraghcloe Beach. Like, I remember we were in the water, myself and Keane de Butler, Irish cameraman, with Tom Hanks, you know, and you'd look at all this going off in front of you.
Yeah.
And I just knew, like, this was just, we were so lucky to be there. And from that, I got to go around the world working on movies like Gladiator and, you know, The Mummy, World War Z, Fast and Furious. I did a number of Tim Burton films. You know.
And when you say that you were there with yeah. Keane de Butler.
Yes.
And there was Tom Hanks.
Yeah, standing in the water with us, like with everything going on.
And what were you doing, and how does that relate to, say, what the director is doing?
Okay, so Steven Spielberg has a specific shot in mind of the camera coming in and out of the water. So Keane de Butler and myself, we would have built an elaborate camera crane tracking out 80 feet into the water. Keane and I would have jumped off the boat together with the camera crane attached to it, because it's quite heavy for Keane, you know? And then I would have been helping Keane manoeuvre through with Tom Hanks and behind Tom Hanks all the way into the water, back out. We'd have specific squibs that would be going off.
What's a squib?
Bullets going into the water.
Yeah.
So we'd have to time it well, then come back up, somebody jump off the boat, we get around him, follow Tom Hanks, and then we'd eventually get out onto the beach, and Keane would be released from the rig. And so that's the kind of elaborate sort of...
So that's nearly second by second, frame by frame?
Yeah. Yeah, we film it as it happens with all the explosions going off, bullets, everything, you know.
And how much preparation do you... Well, I'll come back to you in that in a second, and I'll come to this person whom some people might think should go and get help. What's a stunt coordinator, Emer?
Thank you. A stunt coordinator is the person who organises, facilitates and engineers the action of any movie or story or TV film. My main experience has been as a stunt performer, and maybe 2 years ago I'm part of Stunt Guild Ireland, and two years ago I was brought up to a stunt coordinator, which is great because it was the first female coordinator in the country. So I've been working on a few smaller jobs and learning my trade with some great people. There's two guys that I work with in particular, Jeannie Geese and Brendan Condren. And I'm just so lucky that I've done the majority of my stunts with them. And so they're the help you're talking about. They're the good guys. Right, they're really good. I mean, everything's about preparation, and they've taught me that preparation is absolutely key. And so on the day when you're doing a stunt, you really should be just thinking about your performance, not the actual safety of the stunt, because that's all been kind of looked after in the prep.
Yeah, you describe being knocked over by a car.
Yes.
And now, what preparation went into that?
So we spent a week prepping that. So initially, I ran along with the car. We were counting steps. It's really quite, it's kind of forensic the way you actually prep for it. So I was counting steps. The car was counting my steps. We're getting used to each other. Brendan Condren, who I mentioned earlier, was driving and would be one of the only people in the world that I would allow do that to me. Have great trust in the man. And also Nagis was there as a rigger that day. So we prepped, ran alongside the car, built it up to padding up the car, jumping onto the bonnet, coming off, learning the distances. And then on the day, there was no pads on the car. No, we couldn't see pads on the car. I had a few pads on.
You couldn't have secret pads.
I had secret pads on, right. Secret stunt pads on. But I also had a harness on, a waist harness.
Right.
And the line ran over my shoulder and was in the hands of Jeannie Geese, who's a rigger. And so when the car hit, the back of my leg, I sat up on the car and then rolled over the top of the car and came off. And the line did was it kept me on a straight line. It meant that if the car hit me, I didn't go under the tyres or I didn't come off the side. So it was controlled kind of hit.
And he likely would have been controlling how that was filmed, so you didn't have to do it five times.
Absolutely. And I know Philip a long time. We've worked on a lot of movies together.
Right.
And he's great because he's almost like a ghost. You just don't see him. You know, he's doing his job. It's all there. I know the camera's there. And I know I'm going to be safe every time. It's the reason why I keep working and haven't had any injuries is because there's really great people around.
Right. Who are you doing that for? Who were you stunting for?
That time I was acting, so I was cast in the part. But I have doubled for the likes of Ava Green, Nicolette Sheridan, who's quite hilarious and lovely lady. Lots of different actresses along the road. I think Ava Green was probably the actress that I doubled for most on Penny Dreadful for 3 years, and she's just an amazing lady and actor. She's fantastic.
And what's the range of stunts?
So there were a range of stunts. So my experience of what I've done is obviously in car knockdowns, high falls, fighting, sword fighting. I do a lot of firework. I think that's kind of my main...
Do you remember the time you were getting thrown around the room when you were stunting double for Eva Green when
that's
we were doing
right,
Penny Dreadful? We did a whole sequence where Eva was possessed by a demon.
Right.
The demon was... throwing the body of around the room with such off the ceiling, off the wall.
Bouncing around,
yeah. And Emer would have been on a very complicated cable system, smashing her off the wall. Would have been following her with the camera, looking at her from time to time. Jean Emer, are you okay? Like,
I'm fine. But I mean, there's lots of secret kind of tricks that are involved. Like there would be padding on the wall, neoprene on the wall, and you'd have padding on, or the rig is so tightly engineered that you're stopping just literally millimetres from the wall.
We would have put a lot of prep into that. Like we would have built the room itself and
built the room.
Yes. Yeah. With special padding, we would have had special cable system. We would have known exactly the path that Emer would have taken across the room and to the ceiling.
And then I'd know exactly the consistency with the camera is that I would know exactly where they're going to be also. And
you can't be rehearsing this, can you?
No, you rehearse, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. And when she was being belted around the room, or what did you say, spinning around the room?
Oh, bouncing around the room.
Yeah. You then have to come up with the sound effects for those bounces.
Yeah, like it's great to hear this insight actually to what they do, because I would only see the finished result and then I would add, and if the character in the film needs to break a bone, or then I would do all of that. I would break the bones and choose the moment where the
with the sound,
or you know, if their head hit off something, you know, choose whether to break a nose at that point or have a look, see how much damage we could do, or if we needed to make it really hurt, how heavy would we go with the sound effects at that point.
You probably have to be like Emer and I would have been talking to each other at that point too. You probably heard us, and you'd have to get rid of us and put in the proper sound too, I guess, you know.
I guess your dialogue is
sometimes
probably
on camera,
removed before I even get to
it. Yeah.
So it's cleaned up by the time, you know, I would have a guy track that. Yeah.
Okay. What have you there in front of you?
So I just bought a few little bits. So you know, for things like the nose break, we perform it inside the body so that it sounds like so this is usually rigatoni pasta I use, but I could only get a shell this morning on the way in here. So we're going to give this a whirl and see how we get on.
All right. That's your
ow.
Nose.
You okay?
That sounded painful.
We do that. It's not very glamorous, this side of the
great.
Business. And, and then, you know, if there was something more like a limb, we would use this.
Which is a head of celery.
So that works nicely. And this is an oldie. I don't know whether this will work, but we'll try it. On the
This is a hot water bottle. Well, an empty
This is handed down through the eons of Foley artists before me.
Right,
okay. We've all heard,
Oh, is that for cars screeching?
That sounds a bit funny, actually. But that is what we use for the screeching tires.
And like that, it's frame by frame again. It's second by second. I mean, how do you figure that out in advance?
Well,
like I was in Fitzel after last night looking at something on YouTube, and when I realised the complexity, that every single sound, like a door closing, like a door closing slowly, like a door snapping shut, and all of that done and redone.
Done and redone, yeah, yeah. And we would watch it, and like for the performance of the human things, we tend not to watch and rehearse too many times because you lose something in that. You've got to sort of, the first or second take is often the best take because you're not too heady about it.
Right.
And there's something about the physical movement that needs that. But for other things, they do need, you know, layering of maybe, you know, 10, 15 different sounds or 6 or 7 different sounds happening at once to create a sound. Like for snow feet, we would have different layers on top of each other, depending on how far the foot would sink in the snow, how cold is the temperature, you know, and those kind of things.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. When we're filming, we mostly do it in silence as such, like that we just record the dialogue. So everything you see when the film is, like I watch movies myself.
Yeah.
Like that hot water bottle screeching there, and like it wasn't like that in the day. Well, that's amazing, you know.
Yeah,
I clearly wasn't there that day.
So you don't record actual sound anymore?
No, on set, the sound recordist with the boom operator, you know, the guy you see in the, they record the dialogue and they do their best to record the sound as
the
it
ambient
is.
Sound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we would film on a very silent set, just like it is in this room, you know, and just the dialogue and what's happening, you know. Generally, people in the background are asked to mime, you know.
Yeah. Hence, it's all phony is what you're saying to me. It's all just, pretend.
It totally is. Yeah.
As if it comes, everyone should watch, this is a caller going into us, everyone should watch that Grips work from Saving Private Ryan on YouTube right now. It's mind-boggling stuff. Well done, John Clonroach.
Yes, yes.
Which is nice. Marion, again, the scene in Saving Private Ryan with the bullets in the water was tremendous. What a scene, and that's Kevin Devitt in Westport. Well, some of us saw it through closed eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which is probably not a very good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you're standing there on film sets, like it is, they say people who work in film, they have to love it, you know, and it is true. It takes long days, it's hard work. But it can be, and usually is, extremely rewarding, you know.
Right.
I have been lucky, like all of us here at the table, to be involved in some of Ireland's proudest projects, like Star Wars, or, you know, there are projects we're on at the moment, that, you know, like we've got television shows shooting here, like Vikings, and we've got Game of Thrones up the north, where, you know, Troy Film Studios down in Limerick shot Nightflowers this year. It's a great time to be in the business, you know.
It's thriving, isn't it? It's really burgeoning.
It's doing well, you know.
Creva, you were nominated for an Emmy?
No, not this year. But we were nominated for an Emmy for Game of Thrones.
Right.
And we went over for the ceremony and we had great crack. Yeah,
right,
so
yeah, that's very good. Is it, does it bother you one bit that the, you know, that there are the stars, you know, the male and the female, and they get all the fuss at the Oscars, and this amazing work you're talking about doesn't really get the same level of acknowledgement?
Yeah, like it's funny that, you know, but it's just, film is such a true collaboration. Like it's the sum of all its parts.
Yeah.
And there are craft awards that recognise the things that we do.
Right.
And so within our peers, there are, you know, opportunities to recognise our work. But on a kind of more public way, like, we're the unseen crew.
We were talking some time ago about costume and again, the attention to detail. What brought you into stunts?
Oh, I fell into it. It's the old trick. I actually studied the cello and I have a BA in performance with that. But I went back and studied acting in the Gaiety. And whilst I was there, I got involved in sword fighting. But I had been a springboard diver when I was younger.
Right.
I travelled up to Belfast, up to Queens every weekend when I was a kid. And so it just came back around. Funnily enough, it just came back around. And then I got offered a job. They were looking for a girl and there was a kind of dearth of females here at the time.
Yeah.
This is going back. And so I just, luckily enough, got the job jumping off a crane on a Guinness ad. Jumping off a crane onto cardboard boxes. And they said, great, do you want to do it again? I said, do I? I get paid for this? And that was it. I was just so...
How high was the crane?
Grey was probably about, I think it was probably only about 23 feet or 20 feet or something. It wasn't a big jump, but it was just off you go. And it was my first kind
of... And did you land?
I landed on boxes,
or was somebody holding you with a string?
No, there was no string, no air. It was just sit into those boxes there.
Big in empty a beautiful, boxes,
yeah, empty yeah. boxes in a beautiful silk dress. And I was more worried about tearing the dress than anything else, if I'm honest.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, and I was just lucky with the people I met and they put me on a good path.
Healthy industry here at the moment?
Thriving.
Mm. Yeah.
Thriving,
yeah. We've had a great few years, like I said, with the large-scale television projects and... thankfully, the tax incentive was extended out, and we're hoping for future projects to come into Ireland. So,
yeah, you figured that you need more studios, is that it?
That's correct. We're competing against Eastern Europe and the UK for all of the work we do here. We have Ardmore Studios. It was built in 1957. You know, it's where I started as a child. It's a magic dream factory, but it's outdated, you know.
Right. Okay, well, we'll take that. Can I just ask you a quick yes or no? Can you just go to the movies and enjoy yourselves and suspend disbelief? Or are you looking at this and looking at that and look? No.
It's hard not to pick it apart,
So that's that destroyed.
Sorry, maybe you're still there.
Okay, well, on that note, we will leave it. Caoimhe Doyle, the Foley artist, Dermot O'Grady, stunt coordinator, and Philip Murphy, a key grip. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Thank you.
We'll take a break.